Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is the 16th version of our Course of Course podcast coming to you live from Los Angeles, California.
Woo!
Stephanie, how's your week been?
Wow, my week. It's been good. I've been, again, doing some overtime. So I am kind of getting a heavier experience at work in terms of time commitment, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around it in a different way, where maybe it's serving me and helping me stay present to what's actually happening, and instead of thinking of it like a burden. But I don't know, I just keep going back to the sameness. How can I just keep everything feeling the same?
Well, I do want to talk about, so this is our 16th podcast. And we really are, at least for ourselves, seeing some change in how we are interacting in our dream lives,
mm-hmm.
that which is our Janine and Stephanie lifetime in 2015. And one of the challenges I think we both have had have been at work. So every day, every week, it's, again, that whole diligence that the course keeps talking about. Be vigilant, be vigilant. Make sure that you continue to focus on that. We've talked off mic about my challenges every week and how I'm really great in the weekends. Monday morning comes around and I feel like I'm in that same yo-yo kind of situation where here we go, Monday morning, I get really mad at my boss, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to, but yet this, we were talking about the tapes that are playing in our head, and the tape for me on Monday morning is my boss is separate from me, not part of God. Clearly, I'm part of God, because that's the whole ego thing. I'm God, but
right. They
are not God. So it is constantly reminding myself when I'm driving into work, either on Monday or Wednesday or Friday, whatever day I'm driving to work, remember, the Holy Spirit is with you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a dream. These seem very simple when I say them out loud,
mm-hmm.
but when I have to practice them, it's a challenge.
Do you listen to a podcast or anything, the text, on your way in?
I try to, and if I can get a note out to Jean Bogard and Gary Renard, as quickly as you can get those podcasts, those would be very helpful for me,
yeah.
on a daily basis.
Because you've heard them all.
Yeah, because I've heard them all, but you know, I love them and I love hearing them. And I also love hearing podcasts from other course students,
mm-hmm.
when I can get a hold of them. I mean, I like hearing our own. I mean, there's something very ego-driven about hearing our own voices off of iTunes. And we've said this before, we have a huge international following. So it's nice to know that from an ego perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to Gary and Jean's podcast. I'm now on episode 39. And I feel like this particular episode is one of the most in-depth, revealing, helpful episodes.
What's so great about 39? I remember listening to it, but it's been a while.
Well, they just had the, I think it was a Mexico cruise.
Oh.
So it's interesting to hear that they have cruises. Mm-hmm. And they also have phone call-in conference calls. I don't know if those still happen. I just last week joined Gary's e-blast list, mm-hmm. and I did get something for another cruise down in Baja, which I probably won't do, but we signed up for the other one with him and Cindy.
That's right. When is that happening?
That's in March. I think it's the 14th.
In Mission Viejo, California, I believe.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to talk a little about upcoming, and that's April 2015. We were discussing at dinner,
mm-hmm.
possibly going to the Course in Miracles conference, which is going to be in New York City.
Yeah.
We've gone to, I guess, the West Coast version. I don't know. And that was the Irvine one in August. So
different
this is
promoter.
Like, yeah, different promoter, different speakers, different feel, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I like the fact that Gary and Cindy are going to be at that one. They weren't at the Irvine one, which is here in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
but that's not true. They were in Orange County, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They went in San Francisco, too, right? Like, I'd rather go to San Francisco than New York if we could.
Is there one in San Francisco?
I think it's every other year.
Oh,
and I don't know what year this is, the odd or the
year. Oh. Well,
but we can look into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the listeners are probably looking at what are the ones that are closest to them geographically.
Mm-hmm.
New York City is probably the least close to us geographically.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the idea of meeting some of those folks in the East Coast that I might not have that opportunity being here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much, since we're pretty new to the course community,
mm-hmm.
how much some of these speakers travel around. I'm assuming they do, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
So we'll see.
We're newbies.
But the April conference, April 2015 in New York City, for those listeners out there who are fascinated in meeting us, Mm-hmm. We may, in fact, be in
New
York City. So if you are there, we'd love to talk to you. And
definitely.
See if you have any ideas on the Course of Course podcasts, anything you'd like us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be fascinating for us
mm-hmm.
and very enlightening. We've talked previously about the disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group that we are both deeply in love with.
Very grateful.
I feel terrible not knowing Marcy's last name, but I think we were just saying that we love Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
She has some amazing posts. Also, someone named Aussie has some pretty good posts too. I love when we kind of walk into some cache, motherload of information that's just sitting there that we didn't know existed. It's so lovely now for us to find this Yahoo discussion group, and we're like, oh my gosh, they're going through what we're going through. And to be able to read some of those posts and go, oh, that's what they're talking about. It has been such a gift for me anyway. I'm sure a gift for you as well.
Yes, last week when I was having a garden issue of being possibly thrown out because the fence was too high, my automatic reaction is, okay, I'm going to collect all the evidence, I'm going to create a defense, and then I'm going to attack. A couple hours later, I thought, could there be a more peaceful resolution to
this?
There's
got to be a different way.
Can I turn this over to the Holy Spirit? Can we create something else? And I believe the answer is yes. I turned on my phone, and then there was a Marcy blast about attack,
mm-hmm.
and it was just perfect in that moment. And I feel like there's always, whatever's going on in my life, if something is rough or I need help with something, there's always an answer out there, whether it's looking to the DU group on Yahoo, or listening to the podcast, or turning to the audio of the text, or opening my book. There's always the answer.
That's such a great, great point. There's always an answer. There's always some other option out there. It's not always this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to that whole duality and victim-victimizer. I think we go through this kind of in a work situation, but also in other areas of our life, where you see somebody who may have what one might call kind of an advantage over you, and you feel like you're being victimized. There's that great quote in the text that, you know, I apologize to those purists out there, but it's something like, don't give in to the temptation of believing that you are unfairly treated. I love that quote because I feel like I live that every day. Like, why isn't my boss treating me well? Or why isn't, you know, my boyfriend doing a certain thing? It's so important to understand that. And I think one of the posts in the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group that Marcy brought up was, we tend to think of the other as being separate from us. It's that whole idea that you've been talking about, Stephanie, of separation.
Mm-hmm.
The constant ego device of basically saying you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm being victimized by you. And the reality is, none of that is true. We're all the same. We're all part of the sonship, as they would call it in the Course
mm-hmm.
of Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, and I'm somebody who will be honest in the fact that I need help a lot. And these discussion groups are assisting me. Gary Renard's books are assisting me.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Lopnick. Everybody out there, I'm so grateful to, because I'm struggling every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that moment where I wake up and go, okay, I got it now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not there yet, and that's okay. We were talking before about whatever's going on in the situation at that time is the perfect situation that is unfolding for us. And not to resist it, not push against it. It's okay if we're not completely embracing the course as it's written. It's okay. It unfolds the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
We are embracing it the way we do as we move forward in time, whatever time means anymore. So many of these concepts are completely kind of collapsing for me, which is also creating a bit of a cognitive dissonance. So much of my life has been thinking one way, and now I'm basically saying, oh no, it's this way. It's causing some challenges for me in having conversations with others. I mean, I hate to say this, but there's a part of me that feels like my world is shrinking a little, just in conversation. Because I can't talk to the majority of those in my life right now about what I'm going through, because I don't have the ability to converse with them at a level where they can understand where I'm coming from.
They certainly don't have the foundation or the context, so it does make it challenging.
Right.
But I still kind of share freely with people, and I just kind of think like,
I really admire that about you. I don't. I still feel like I'm really holding back, even though I want to shout from the rooftops, come on, you guys, you're living a dream. But I'm also conscious of the fact that it probably won't be really accepted.
This morning I had this illusion of being on a soapbox, like the traditional preachers or the crazy people seem to be sometimes, and just like
which we have become
shouting the course, mm-hmm. like come on, people.
Like down in Santa Monica, there's this promenade, right, where they will have people on a literal soapbox, and they will talk about the Bible, and they'll start screaming Bible verses. We could maybe just get our own soapbox and be like, this is all a dream. None of this is real. It's all made up.
Yeah, I feel like we're both getting some power and some understanding and some depth in this. And I feel like it is getting ingrained. And I feel that my signs, I really got present this week to how important they are for me.
Let's talk about your signs. You're really just talking about a sticky note.
Yeah.
That you would just write like little notes on and put them on your refrigerator.
Correct.
Yeah.
So like when I see, you know, I'm under no laws but God's, it kind of reminds me like when I'm in my right mind, that's what's running the show.
Not the right mind, that's the important thing. Like, are you in your right mind? We're all in our minds, but is it the right one?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. And you're pretty good, I think. You're getting pretty good at being able to say, okay, hold on, take a breath. I'm a little slower than you are because I allow myself to get caught up in the spin cycle of daily third dimension life. So that's one of the things I'm working on. Just stop. I get there. It just takes me a little longer.
That's okay. It's all good.
It's all good. It's just when you have tapes running in your head that have been running in your head for, you know, a few decades.
Yeah.
Times a couple. You get to a point where like, well, okay, hold on. Anybody can see this, I think. If you do a certain behavior every day for X amount of years and all of a sudden you have to stop doing that behavior, it takes a while to create that new behavior pattern.
Yeah.
We see this with people who may have been overweight and they try to start eating healthy. It just takes a while to get there. And then it becomes a lifestyle. But for the first, I don't know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
they really have to consciously say to themselves, I'm not going to eat this ho-ho. I'm going to eat, you know,
A carrot
or the salad or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes willpower. It takes focus.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm in right now with the course, like really trying to maintain my focus.
Jean talks a lot about learning an instrument and learning the guitar and how mm-hmm. it takes time to learn the guitar. So I often think of it in musical terms.
That's a good point. That's true. Because when we get the desire to learn a guitar, at least for me, I want to just know it. Well, that can't be difficult. I'll just do it.
Yeah. I don't even know how to play guitar, but I could imagine it would take me some time.
That's the thing about time, right? At least for me, I always feel like, oh, it's going to take years to attain some mastery of something. Well, why can't we just accelerate time and be like, here's my desire, and I'm going to start playing this guitar, and in 3 days, I'm going to be a virtuoso.
Well, I wonder if that is on one of those podcasts, that money book mm-hmm. that Gary was talking about, which was that we can't find the solutions in this dimension. We actually need to break out of time and space and go to that other creative space in order to bring a solution into this experience.
Really good point. What's the name of the money book that you're talking about?
It's called Busting Loose. I see the cover, but let me get to the title page. It is by Robert
Sheinfeld.
It's Sheinfeld.
Okay.
Mind-blowing strategies for changing the rules of a game you can't win.
Maybe next week in our podcast we can talk about this book. I've mm-hmm. just downloaded it. It will be interesting to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Money is one of those things in third dimension life that definitely is a challenge and a lesson for many, many people.
Yeah, I think that money is a good avenue to pull people in. But this book so far is brilliant in how it discusses the separation from God. It's very much the Course in Miracles, but told in a different kind of way to get through to people.
The earliest book that I remember about this was the Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich book.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like this is sort of like standing on the shoulders of giants, in the sense that Napoleon Hill had already done that, and maybe Sheinfeld, was able to capitalize on some of that. We shall see. I mean, we can talk about that because I haven't read it.
I'm only on chapter 4.
Okay.
But so far, the last 2 chapters have blown my mind.
I think that's a good kind of tip for our listeners. I love hearing about books that have changed people's lives and have been so fascinating that you can't put them down. I like the fact that you're bringing this one up. Maybe it will bring some sort of inspiration for those who are struggling with money right now to read this book and see if they can glean anything from it.
Yeah, Gary brought it up because he was talking about how you can all of a sudden have a check appear, you know, or an extra 0 show up in your account, or somehow this $1 million lottery ticket wins. But it's never going to happen from that law of attraction or any of those gimmicks that we've learned in our spiritual buffet. So it's actually coming from outside of time and space, which then they started talking about the movie Inception, which you haven't seen yet.
No.
So we're going to have to re-see that. But I love that movie. I saw it a couple times and I want to see it again because he says it talks about the dreams, the dream life, the illusions, the projection that we do.
It's amazing when filmmakers are connected to source because they create things like this.
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
I love that movie.
We love that movie because it was also another example of really advanced filmmakers being able to show visually kind of this concept of reincarnation and being stuck in that cycle and understanding that part of it. It's not really talking about transcendent new age, I shouldn't say new age, but transcendent A Course in Miracles, but it did a really great job of showing kind of that whole cycle of reincarnation.
Exactly.
Really amazing job.
The birth and death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm fascinated to see if I can find Inception on Netflix.
It might be.
And see if I can watch that.
At this point, it should be. It's been out for a little while.
I'm kind of juiced up by the fact that there are so many creative people out there now. They're able to produce movies or books or audio or podcasts that can get to me and go, oh, now I understand. I don't know. It's possible they were around before. I just wasn't ready to receive the message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slowly becoming open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think possibly the culture itself is slowly becoming open to it.
I agree. Like they were talking about when the printing press came out and then people could learn to read, like that was a shift. And it's basically now that the course came through because it was the right time.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that we were born at this time to be here at the beginning of the course.
I love the symbolism
possibly.
Symbolism of the course. It came out 75-76. Which ironically is also Independence Day for the United States.
Oh, that's right.
So it's like, yay, it came out here in the United States during, I think it was our bicentennial, like the birth of a nation, the birth of ideas. I think the 70s, late 60s, 70s were really a powerful time, just generationally, with so much coming through. Est and
punk rock.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like moving from disco to a bunch of different kind of methods of music. It was just a powerful decade, I think. And I'm really grateful that I was able to, at least I was pretty young, very young, for those of you who are wondering how old I was, very, very young, to kind of live through it. We've lived through quite a few changes, and all generations do. I'm not saying that we're special, but I feel very blessed that I've been able to come through during this particular lifetime configuration. That's it. Great for you.
I was just thinking about the garden and how I got that spider bite. And for me, the garden is my symbol of heaven. In my heavenly experience, this awful thing of getting a spider bite where I had to go to urgency care and get all these antibiotics because it could kill me and eat my leg up and have this infection go through my whole body. And it was just like, I feel like it polluted my sacred space or something. And it just kind of reminds me like, yeah, it's pretty crazy down here.
Third dimension sucks. I can't speak for you, but I'm not real thrilled about it, frankly. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I have the experience in third dimension to finally wake up.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the course, definitely.
So there's grateful books. For the course.
Yeah.
I recognize the fact that others have been able to wake up, not necessarily following the path of the course. It's just the course is what's working for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If there's other avenues that have presented themselves to me, I wasn't ready for them. For whatever reason, I'm ready for this one. Because there's so much information out there now in 2015 that I can latch onto and get excited about and go, okay, thank you. It is such a huge positive change for me, whereas maybe 20 years ago, we talked about this before, when the course was sort of presented to me, I wasn't ready for it.
It didn't make sense.
Like, I couldn't grasp it. Mm-hmm. But I could grasp, and I don't mean this to sound condescending in any way, but I could grasp some of the New Age concepts. They were easier for me. I felt like they were more like at my level at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, it was more like me in grade school,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing certain things. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's how I was, and that was my understanding. It's like, oh, okay, law of attraction. I can sort of get this. This is excited. Maybe I can create my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite understanding it, there's a part of me that was like, yeah, okay, I get this. And we went to a few workshops, as they're called,
mm-hmm.
Which were great. I got very excited about those, but I really didn't see any change in my life. I didn't see that, oh my gosh, moment that I've had with the course over and over again now. Listeners, we're in Los Angeles, and Stephanie and I have both been through kind of this career path where we're both, I would say, financially successful
mm-hmm.
at this point, but it's not really made us happy. In fact, I think we're both kind of like, well, do we really need all this? Do we need the trappings of wealth or whatever? I think we're kind of looking at it like, how can we make our life simpler and live a life in which we can enjoy it instead of not having to put 9-10 hours a day into work life and then taking the weekends to try to breathe and
yeah.
relax. I mean, if this is my last lifetime in third dimension, which, oh, please, please, Holy Spirit, let it be, I don't want it to be in the rat race of continuing to work and be unhappy.
Yeah, it's just an ego avenue to keep us separated, to keep us so busy on that hamster treadmill going that we don't have time to reflect.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the other day that I have a luxury car. I'm like, well, what kind of car should I get now?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what am I doing? Why do I need that? It's not important. It's very much an ego device for me. I can't speak for everyone, just speaking for me. It's not necessary. Do I really want to sink that much money into a new luxury car? What is the point? All I need is something that gets me from point A to point B. I don't need people to say, oh, wow, look at her. She's so rich.
Well, it is L.A. and driving up to the valet in a clunker.
True.
Versus a whatever.
Well, and having done that in, you know, history,
yeah.
I have driven up to the valet in a clunker. And I didn't like how it made me feel. But now I'm like, well, what?
Yeah. And, of course, we don't have to drive a clunker.
Correct.
You know, it could be something more reasonable.
But who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, I don't think the valet people care.
I just want to make some money so I can pay off my debts, so I can get out of here.
So we can live comfortably and not have to worry about, can we eat this week? I mean, we both, you know, went through graduate school and had to work our way up, and we have experienced what it's like to have lack.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't really enjoy that.
No.
So I don't want to go back there, but I don't necessarily need the trappings that I have right now. It feels like my ego took control. And it ended up buying stuff I didn't need. How many people really need 100 pairs of shoes? Not me, but apparently I thought I did. You know? I mean, we don't really need to spend as much money as we spend on ridiculous things.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to figure out balance. There was something he was talking about on the podcast, because that's all I've been doing lately, is the Gene and Gary podcast. I'm now up to 39. Mm-hmm. Is the mind, body, spirit that we think about. Well, it's the mind that chooses, do I want to align with body or do I want to align with spirit? Which goes back to the truth illusion and the whole duality thing. So I'm just really practicing or trying to be present to or build the muscle in, just in this moment, where am I coming from? Like actively willing and building that muscle.
So here's a quick question for you. Say you're at the garden, which is heaven for you.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walks up to you and causes a commotion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? How do you flip and be like, it's okay, no big deal?
That wouldn't normally happen, but just the fact that they want to kick us out because of the fence, I mean, that's a good example
mm-hmm.
of, you know, I want to go measure the other fences. I want to go take pictures. I want to make this whole proposal about why our fence is fine. Like, there's all these little ideas and thoughts and splits and fractions, like that whole thing that just spins you out.
It's like an immediate defensive reaction.
Right, and I don't want to go there anymore. Not only is it exhausting, but because of the illusion that can keep you spinning out, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to give up every idea that I have about how it should be, even though I'm still concerned or in the back of my mind thinking about, well, what am I going to retire on? I don't have any money. You know, hopefully these different things I have going will turn out, but what if they don't? You know, like, I kind of don't care anymore. I just figure the Holy Spirit has my best interest. And I do feel that there would be some benefit of not living in a big metropolitan city and living in a more rural area and having more time for self-reflection and maybe being able to be a teacher to the people in that area. Like, I don't have any problem with talking and organizing and creating a structure, like a weekly study group or something. But I don't think I need to be in Hollywood. You know, the whole idea of working at a movie studio is just, it's so funny that that's an example of the projector and the movie. And
I know, it's like on the nose. It's like, yeah. Literally, yeah. Living that.
The writers and how precise every scene is and how everyone's weighed in on it and how our lives are built the same way. It just blows my mind.
There's these weird things happening for me where I feel like I just don't care anymore. And I don't mean that in a crass sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point where it's like, well, I don't really care about that. I'm finding myself when put in situations where you'll have two factions, I guess, kind of at odds. I'm just like, I don't care, whatever you want to do. The part of me that used to be this very ego type A personality is like, what do you mean you don't care? You want to control the situation.
Mm.
But now I'm like, does it really matter? You know, from an astrological perspective, I'm a Libra, and part of being a Libra is being fair and making sure that both sides are heard and that kind of stuff. So I was always very much a peacemaker between two groups. Let's just say at work, there's one group that wanted one thing, another group wanted another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always the one that says, okay, let's just do a win-win here. The reality is there are people who are very entrenched in that ego perception of, oh no, it's gotta be my way.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in that situation where you're dealing with two groups or one group won't yield? So it's like they are really controlling the situation by basically being stubborn. My belief now is I don't really care. So, okay, if you feel that strongly, then do it. It might not be the best thing overall for everyone, but where I'm coming from now, it doesn't get anywhere by going through 3 or 4 days of back and forth when eventually they're probably going to win anyway because their ego's stronger and I could care less. So it's this weird balance between, do I just acquiesce and look weak in a work environment? Or do I pretend that I care for 3 days until ultimately they win just because they'll hang on longer and they really care about winning? It's a measure of how much do I want to put up with?
Yeah, do I want peace now or do I want it 3 days later?
Right. And I'm always saying I want peace now.
Good.
Those around me who are very much attracted to the ego perception of power,
mm-hmm,
would look at that as saying, oh, well, she'll just acquiesce and fall over and be capitulated and all that kind of stuff.
Or she'll fight till the end, but she'll let go eventually and we'll win. Like, they have
right.
All kinds of ideas and opinions.
Exactly.
But
and like,
care.
There's no winner there. The only thing you can do is just be true to yourself and just be like, okay, whatever. Because this is all just a joke. It's all a dream.
Yeah. Forgiving everything right in front of us and turning it over to the Holy Spirit.
Good point.
That's all our job is to do, is just to forgive it and think from the Holy Spirit.
And so much of things are in front of us. They're right in front of our face. And those are the ones where we keep pushing back because our ego doesn't like that.
I'm kind of convinced that from lifetime to lifetime, it's always the same lesson or the same dynamics or the same cycles.
Agreed.
And we have this opportunity in this one to just nail it and get it over with.
Exactly. And true to form, let's just nail this podcast right now. Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, listeners. We will be back for the Course of Course podcast number 17 next week. Have a great day, everyone.